Our scripture reading is from Psalm 130, Psalm 130, a song of degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The text for this morning's sermon is the verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. God's people are a waiting people, a hoping people, an expectant people. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. Yea, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Waiting for the Lord, that is our theme. Waiting for the Lord, the frame of his soul. First of all. Secondly, the focus of his soul. And thirdly, the foundation for his soul. Waiting for the Lord, the frame of his soul, the focus of his soul, and the foundation for his soul. The psalmist of Psalm 130 has cried out of the depths, knowing himself to be separated from the Lord because of sin. But he is not without hope. He is not without encouragement, for there is forgiveness with the Lord. And he knows that, and he confesses that. Now, what effect does this knowledge that there is with the Lord, what effect does that have upon his soul? It has this effect. His soul takes on the posture of waiting for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. Why is he waiting for the Lord? Does the psalmist not know forgiveness? The psalmist does know that there is forgiveness with the Lord, and his faith is directed to the Lord. He is looking unto the Lord. But then it can be that you look to the Lord and yet you don't know the comfort of forgiveness. It's possible, isn't it, to have a refuge-taking faith and not know the comfort of forgiveness, not to know the nearness and the comfort that the Lord is bringing. It's possible to be forgiven and yet not to know you are forgiven. And then the best posture to take is the posture of the psalmist, to wait for the Lord, to give that he would give the knowledge of it, that he would give the assurance of it, that he would give the comfort of this forgiveness. Is the psalmist a believer? Yes. Is the psalmist forgiven? Yes. Is the psalmist joined to Christ? Yes. But his knowledge of it is not perfect. And so he waits on the Lord. And that's a good thing for a sinner to do. To wait in expectation on the Lord. Lamentations 3 verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. more than they that watch for the morning. But something more must be said. Not only does he seek the knowledge of forgiveness for his own self, he is also waiting for a visit from the Lord. You see, he not only wants to know that he is forgiven, that he is pardoned by God. Let me use an illustration. Think of a boy who is rebellious, and at last he leaves home. He's grieved his parents deeply because of his rebellion, and he goes away. Some 20 years later, the boy comes to a change of mind and a change of heart, and he wants to go home. And what does he do? He writes a letter to his parents, and he asks for their forgiveness. And they write him back, saying, "We forgive you." But is that all the boy wants? A letter from his parents saying that they forgive him? Yes, he does want forgiveness, but do you think that's all he wants? Don't you think that he also wants fellowship with his parents? Don't you think that he wants to see them again? Don't you think he wants to speak with them again? And then is it so strange that the psalmist here is longing for a visit from the Lord? He wants the Lord. Is that not the chief desire of God's people? The Lord. For a meeting with the Lord, to commune with the Lord, and for that they wait. More than they that watch for the morning. More than they that watch for the morning. And so he waits on the Lord. How does he wait? What marks his waiting? Well, first of all, his waiting speaks of a longing. It speaks of a longing. There is a longing in him. And it's compared to the watchman waiting for the morning. You know, the watchman, he has stood guard. He's watched. He's been awake in the night. At times he's had to fight against weariness, and he's had to fight against drowsiness, and he's longing for the new day to come, for the light to come. And now the psalmist says, "I long for the coming of Christ." More than the watchman longs for the coming of a new day, I long for the visit of the Lord. More than the watchman longs for the coming of the new day. For you see, when the Lord comes for a visit, then he also comes with tokens of his favor, tokens of his love. Then he comes in order to console and to teach the sinner all that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is longing for a person. He's longing for Christ. And so he longs more than a person longing for the new day. Secondly, his waiting not only speaks of longing, but also speaks of looking. He is looking. Early in the morning, when you stand guard, and you're waiting for the morning to come, then you look to the east, and you look to the west, and you want to see if the east is just as dark as the west. And if they are just as dark, then you know it's still night. But if you look to the east and you see, the light of a new day is dawning, and you look to the west and it's still dark, then there comes hope in your soul. See, God's people are a looking people. What are they looking for? They're looking for Christ. That's why you find at the time of Christ's birth so many people looking, longing, waiting. Anna, Simeon, looking with expectation. Because he is coming. He says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He's promised that, and they look for the fulfillment of his word. Thirdly, the waiting also speaks of leaning, longing, looking, leaning. Leaning on what? Leaning on God's word. See, waiting, the posture of God's people, is an activity of faith. It's the leaning of faith upon the word of God. And his word, do I hope? Can I lean upon his word, you ask? Yes, and you know how much you can lean upon that? You can lean upon it with all the weight of your soul. That's how it is with the psalmist. My soul waiteth for the Lord. Another time he says, my soul doth wait. And you see, when a believer hears the promise of Christ coming and of Christ visiting and of His being present with His people, and he may have forgotten about those promises and he may have forgotten about that word, then he begins to look and he begins to lean and he begins to long. Leaning upon His word, he waits for the Lord. Why the Lord? Well, because of who the Lord is. I wait for the Lord. That's where he is looking. That is where he is waiting. It's upon him that he is waiting because of who he is. And the psalmist, he may have heard of Moses being in the wilderness, and he may have heard the histories of God's people traveling through the wilderness, traveling to the heaven, to Canaan, a picture of the heavenly Canaan. And he will have heard that history of how Moses was walking with the people in the wilderness and how there came a time when the people erected a calf, a golden calf, and they worshipped it. And Moses had come to intercede for them, but he had also come to ask to see the Lord. And the Lord was willing to grant his request. And the psalmist, he will have known that how the Lord, he came and passed by Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And the psalmist has heard this, and he's heard of it in earlier days, and he must have been astonished that this is who the Lord is. The Lord is merciful. Merciful. He is ready to relieve the misery. Whatever the grief, whatever the sorrow, whatever the trouble you may have, He is merciful. Gracious. He is ready to hasten to the guilty with pardon. And that's the psalmist's longing. Long-suffering, even when we do nothing but provoke the Lord day after day, hour after hour, the Lord responds with His patience, His long-suffering. Abundant in goodness and truth, such is the Lord. Abundant! There's an ocean wide of His goodness, more than the ocean, deeper than the ocean, keeping mercy for thousands. As one writer has put it, mercy is God's darling attribute. Mercy's arms are wide, mercy's heart is large, and mercy's mansions are many. And you can add other attributes to this. The power of God, able to do what pleases Him, to create in the beginning and to recreate. His justice, whereby He punishes evil and rewards good, and that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, we need to draw a line to Christ, for it is in Him that all these attributes are found. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in Christ. It is Christ who showed mercy to the miserable. Don't you find that on every page of the Gospels? Have you been reading in the Gospels also this past week when you were looking for comfort for your own soul? There you find the Lord Jesus healing, meeting. And He met with sinners and publicans, showing mercy to the miserable. Christ who showed His power when He calmed the winds and the waves. Peace be still, He said. Power there is with Christ, who said that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. You see how the focus then turns to Christ, to heal the sick. He did that too. He showed grace to the guilty as to the thief on the cross. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Is it not good to wait on the Lord? Is it not good with all your needs and with all the complaints, with all your fears, to wait for the Lord? No, not to wait on man. Oh, true, the Lord gives companions for the way. He gives family. He sets the solitary in dwellings. But what can our companions do if Christ did not come? What can our friends do if Christ did not come? Who could heal the broken heart but Christ, the great physician? Who can take away sin but Christ, the sin bearer? Who can give the balm to the sick and fainting but Christ? Who can satisfy the soul's desire but Christ? Who can speak peace to your heart? Can any man do that but Christ? And what happens for those who wait as the psalmist waits? Do they wait in vain? No. Those who wait for the Lord are never put to shame. The Lord doesn't put any to shame who put their faith in Him. Though it be a weak faith, though it be a troubled faith, He doesn't put any to shame. The Lord will come. And He will not tarry. And is there also support for His soul? And then you see we come to our third point, the foundation. There is foundation for His soul. The Word of the Lord. That's what the psalmist says. And in Thy Word do I hope. No, we don't know what word is holding Him up. We don't know what word is holding Him as a rock that is beneath His feet. We don't know what word is His support. Maybe it was the word that He spoke in the beginning, let there be light. Maybe it was the word that was spoken to the Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. The only thing we know is that it is the word of the Lord that is holding Him up. He's not supporting Himself. He can't take one step further in His own strength. He cannot lean upon His own thoughts. He cannot lean upon His own imaginations. He is leaning with all the weight of His soul upon the Word of God. In Thy Word do I hope. And you know there is no better thing to lean on than the Word of God. There's no better support for your needy and grieving soul than the Word of the Lord. He cannot rely upon His feelings. He cannot rely upon experiences of the past. Oh, they may have been sweet, but I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, and it is the Word that spells the name Jesus. On that I must lean, on that alone. Do you know something of what the psalmist is waiting for? Do you know this waiting for the Lord, hoping in His Word? Oh, you know, sometimes God's people can be anxious. And they can be fretful, and they can be concerned, and there is no peace, and they're running about, but they find no comfort. But when the Lord gives waiting, that is good. It is good to quietly wait and hope in the Lord. Have you come to focus on Him? Have you come to seek relief with Him? Have you come to seek salvation in Him? Do you know that no one else can give you relief? No one else can give you comfort. Oh, perhaps you've tried to comfort yourself, but without any effect. You see the need of the Lord to come over and the Lord to visit you. Well, a table is spread in our midst. There are wonderful supplies on this table. And the Lord graciously comes to visit His waiting people. And why are they waiting again? Well, sometimes they are waiting because they do not know the comfort of forgiveness. But chiefly because He wants to meet with them. He longs to meet with them. And what does He tell at His table? Well, He tells at His table of the reason why He came into the world, in order to save sinners. in order to give pardon, in order to give communion. And it is for that reason he came to die. The cross was needed. And what does he tell at the cross? At the cross he tells of the mercy of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The cross spells the love of God, the mercy of God. What else does the cross tell? It tells of the justice of God. Sin must be punished. Sin is so terrible, it must be satisfied. It must be paid. And the cross says it is paid. And it says justice is satisfied. Hide in Christ and you are safe. The cross also tells of the wisdom of God. God has found a way. God has made a way to deliver sinners and still to uphold his holiness and his justice. The cross says there is a way for the vilest sinner to be saved. There is a way for the wretched sinner to have his guilt pardoned. There is a way in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the Lord comes for a visit. And he seeks to give comfort. Also the comfort of being forgiven. He knows that his people do not always enjoy that comfort. He knows that they do not always experience that comfort. Do they look to him? Yes. They need him. They cannot do without him. At one time maybe they were looking to themselves and they were hoping in themselves and they were hoping that God would receive them because of their prayers and because of their scriptures and because of their lives. But that has all been stripped away. They need Christ. Give me Jesus or I die. They need his righteousness. Well, the Lord comes to console at his table. Bread is taken. And it is broken. And it's held up for them to see. It's broken bread. Illustrating what happened to the body of Christ. His body was so broken for a full remission of sin. Then wine is taken. It is poured into a cup, illustrating that Christ's blood was so shed. The blood of Christ was pressed out of him. The blood of Christ flowed from him, from his hands, his feet, his side, shed for a full remission of sins. The bread, the wine, it all points to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the sacrifice for sin on the cross. But the Lord Jesus tells at his table that he did not die for his own sin, but that he died for the sins of others. He says at the table, and at the table it is proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It tells of the blood that has been opened for sin and uncleanness. It is a fountain that can wash the filthiest clean. It is shed for sinners. And that blood is infinite in its value for the guiltiest wretch, because it is the blood of the Son of God. And none need to perish under that blood. And he says to his waiting people, "I sacrifice my body for you. I shed my blood for you. I paid the price in full. And my blood is pardon. There is forgiveness through me." And that's what the Lord tells his people at the table. That's also what they need to hear. They are tossed with tempests so often and not comforted. And he knows that. He knows their grief. He knows their faith is weak. He knows their heart sometimes so hard. But he loves his people. And that's why he comes, in order to console them at his table. Are you waiting for the Lord? Are you longing for the Lord? Longing for a gracious visit from the Lord? more than they that watch for the morning? Come then to his table. Come, hoping in his word. Come, because he has said with desire, I have desire to eat this meal with you. Come, because it is written, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Come, because he has said that he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Come, hoping, leaning upon his word. Ah, there may be one concern that dwells in the hearts of God's people. And they say this: the psalmist longs for Christ more than they that watch for the morning. Yes. And you say, I cannot say that. Why not? Well, because I feel so tired. Because I feel so weak. I feel so drowsy. My waiting is not with that anticipation. The bridegroom knows that. He knows the night is long. He knows the night is weary. That's why he has set this table. To strengthen your weak faith. To show you his love. So as to revive your love. It's meant to quicken his people. To revive their longings. He has done it. In his mercy. He knows you can be downcast. He knows your head can hang down. He knows all your sorrows and all your griefs. But he says, look up. I want to commune with you. Even in the darkness of the night. Even when the morning seems so far away. Even when the weariness is so great. He wants to feed you. And he wants to meet with you. And say, I am thy salvation. What shall we say then? I wait for the Lord, and in his word do I hope. Amen.